Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 58. Boy, has there been a lot of Star Wars news online. I can't escape it. It comes to notifications on my phone. It's on Twitter. It's on Facebook. Friends are texting me stuff, pictures, images, trailers. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
No. Well, that's part of what we're going to talk about today, because Star Wars Celebration is going on as we speak. Actually, I think it should be just over by the time that this episode is released, because we're recording this on the Friday of Star Wars Celebration, and we're going to talk about the trailer a little bit, the Last Jedi trailer, This is episode 8. This is cool stuff, big stuff, and we're also going to talk about artificial intelligence in movies, because, one thing that's pretty current in present in the Star Wars movies is artificial intelligence, but it's not really talked about, it's not really discussed, it's just kind of a thing,
it's just kind of there
in Star Wars, C-3PO is an artificial intelligence. He has emotions, he has thoughts, he has feelings, and yet it's just kind of like
you don't really think about him as being that way. I don't know.
And so it's not really talked about, and so that kind of got us thinking about it. We saw the trailer and we started thinking about what we could talk about. And then, we saw artificial intelligence on our list of topics to talk about. But before we get into that, girl, we have a new 5-star review.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We love it when you guys do that. And this one is from Soul Diva.
Oh.
I love that username.
Nice.
So many of our fans have great usernames, and this is one of my favorites. And she says, Tristan and the girl are my spirit couple.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to live up to.
All right. It's sweet and short. It's a fun and fantastic, nerdalicious talk from two amazing, smart, and adorable people.
Well, thank you.
Love it. That is from Soul Diva. Thank you so much, Soul Diva.
Yeah.
We really do appreciate it. And we appreciate everybody's time and effort in downloading and subscribing and listening to our shows. And also contacting us. Please go to thenerdparty.com/contact. From there, you can select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu and send us a note. Tell us what you thought about the Last Jedi trailer or what you think about artificial intelligence in movies. And if you have the time, please go to iTunes and give us a review. If you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show, and you can be awesome like Soul Diva.
That's right.
All right, so I saw the trailer. You saw the trailer. We saw it together. We have yet to discuss
trailer.
Mm-hmm. So this is big stuff for Star Wars fans, and even just the casual fan. It's like, hey, it's a new Star Wars film. And
absolutely.
So obviously, if you guys haven't watched it, watch it, and then take the 2 minutes, watch it, and then listen to this podcast. What do you think about it?
Well, I think I guess. I'm excited to revisit those characters, and it's clear, obviously, the main ones are going to be back in it, from The Force Awakens. The moment, though, that I didn't get chills was until the very last shot.
With Luke in the cave.
Yeah,
talking
that was
about,
the only part where I was like, okay, now I'm on board.
Yeah.
But the other part, I was kind of like, okay, all right, a little skeptical. What did you think?
I was kind of the same way, where I don't know if I was watching it under the right conditions, because I was at work and it was really busy.
Okay.
And I was working,
like
you're supposed to do at work. And it dropped it around a little bit before lunchtime, central time. And what I like to do for the Nerd Party is I've set up this great system. It's pretty much automated. That's a complete lie. I'm just trying to make it sound cool. It's not that automated. It actually takes some effort. I did it with The Force Awakens and I did it with Rogue One, where as soon as the trailer drops, I download the trailer, put it into a program, and then export at full res a screenshot of each shot.
Yeah.
And then I throw it up online on our blog, which you can go to at thenerdparty.com/blog. and I do a frame by frame analysis. I throw it up as soon as I can, where it's just basically screenshots, mm-hmm. and then I add in the commentary as I go. And so I wanted to get this up quickly because with The Force Awakens and Rogue One, we were literally the first people on the internet to do this.
That's awesome.
At thenerdparty.com. And our traffic goes up. We get new listeners each time. And so I did that with this one, but I didn't watch it first.
Oh, okay.
I did my thing where like I put it in new shot, screenshot, you know, like played a little bit, new shot, screenshot. And I just did that as I went through it. And then I did the whole business, posted it, retweeted it, sent it to the guys and everything like that. And then I watched it.
Why'd you do that?
Because I wanted
to be the first.
Exactly. I thought like John Mills, who's on Aggressive Negotiations on the network, a Star Wars show you guys should check out. He and I were talking about this quote unquote first culture,
mm-hmm.
Where it's kind of a sickness where on social media, where it's not so much people want to enjoy things. They need to be first. They need to be the first to have a product. They need to be first to see something. And I'm not trying to criticize Star Wars Celebration,
mm-hmm.
But some people have commented about how that's kind of what Star Wars Celebration has turned into, where there are people right now at Star Wars Celebration, or at the time of this recording, where they will camp out inside a convention space and sleep on the ground on a cement slab all night just to wait in line to get into a hall and see Mark Hamill and Rian Johnson and all the other people just give little tidbits about the movie or just talk about their experiences and not give anything away because they can't really talk about
right.
anything in the movie.
Sure.
And then show the trailer, and then they get to watch the trailer. But then literally 30 seconds after that happens, they release it online.
Okay.
And so, Matt Rushing and Mike Schindler, who are actually on the ground right now, so you should follow them on Twitter, and you should follow our Twitter, @joinnerdparty, they, like Matt Rushing, he spent all night in line, and
wow.
like all night, like the dude has a hotel room and didn't use it. And he spent all night in line to get into the main hall, and he didn't get in.
No,
he did not get into the main hall.
Oh, that hurts.
Doesn't that hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, that would suck so bad. When he told us that, my heart went out to him. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you spend all that money to go down. You spend all that time.
Yeah.
And boredom in waiting in line. And they don't even have enough seats to get you in. It sounds like horrible planning.
Wow.
Horrible planning from the people who are throwing Star Wars Celebration. Anyway, you have all of this. You have people who were there, obviously, like, I'm not trying to rag on anybody.
No.
But you have people who were there who are genuinely excited and want to experience it and want to be with other fans. And
sure, like Matt Rushing.
Like Matt Rushing, like mm-hmm. Mike Schindler, all these great guys that I know, and tons of other fans who are listening to this podcast. But then you have other people who have borderlines on obsession, and where it's just like, I need to be the first person to see the trailer.
It's almost like they're not really watching it themselves. They're just recording it with their phone or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like that kind of culture? Wait,
it's not so much that, like, if the people who were there, it's just like, I was the first to see the trailer with Mark
Hamill. So it's kind of like a badge of honor.
Yes.
Okay.
And with me, like, I'm victim of that. I realized that I'm victim of that too, because I was like, okay, the Nerd Party needs to be the first entity online who releases a frame by frame analysis of this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be first. Now for me, it's so we can get web traffic, so that we can promote the website, and so that we can promote all of our mini shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for my own self-satisfaction where I'm just like, oh, Tristan Riddell, he was first. It's I want to promote the network.
Sure, you want to get more listeners.
So that's how I sleep at night, because that's what I tell myself. So it's not just self-serving. I'm helping all the other people on the network. But yeah, I ruined my own enjoyment.
That's too bad.
In order to get this frame-by-frame analysis up. And then I watched, and I was just kind of like, okay, cool. All right, I'm going to go have my lunch now. And I felt weird about that, because I'm a hardcore Star Wars fan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a publisher of a network that has two Star Wars shows.
Mm-hmm.
You and I watch the movies constantly mm-hmm. together. We have Han and Leia in our intro theme of this show. and yet, I'm just kind of like, eh. So I think it's probably because of oversaturation.
Yeah, I can see that.
What do you
I
think?
I can see that.
Why do you think we're tepid to this?
Well, I mean, I think that it might have been a bigger deal when we were only having, you know, we didn't, I don't know, with The Force Awakens, that was a big deal because we hadn't had a Star Wars film in years.
10 years, I think.
Right. So now that we've had a few, it's like already the buzz is kind of gone.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know.
No,
is that how you feel?
I think that's 100% how I feel.
Yeah. See, I'm not online at all. I have an Instagram that I just...
That's allow, private.
Just, yeah, it just allows my friends to follow. So I don't really experience that internet culture at all where, you know, like, you know, retweeting or whatever or Facebook or anything like that. But I feel like I hear a lot from you about that. And for me, that would just be too stressful. Just the idea. I don't know. Like, I don't need the extra stress in my life. And so I rather just kind of, I don't know, kind of just enjoy it for myself and then talk to you about it.
You know,
my circle is very small, but it's okay. I live a pretty happy life.
I love social media for the interaction with good people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's given me a great circle of friends. It's given me the nerd party.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the nerd party would not be possible without social media.
Sure.
And so for that aspect, it's great. But another aspect is we have our hand so far up the ass of these movies.
Ew.
That I know that was kind of gross. Yeah, I don't know why I was so graphic with that.
Yeah, that's pretty graphic. I feel uncomfortable.
Up the puppet's backside. that
still seems graphic.
That we can't, like, nothing's a surprise anymore. Mm-hmm. We're so inundated with behind the scenes pictures and leaks and... Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a cameo anymore. There's no such thing as a surprise cameo anymore. Because casting, like, we know when people are in talks with being in movies, let alone, like, when they show up on screen.
That's true.
And so I long for the days where you didn't see a trailer until you saw a movie in the theater.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you get, like, super excited that it's coming out. Yeah. Whereas now, it's like you've seen all the trailers, so it's nothing new. It's just like, oh, we're watching this on a bigger screen.
Now you know when Paramount hires a screenwriter to... write a film that might happen 5 years from now. It's insane.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I do long for that.
Yeah.
That kind of interaction that you, or lack of interaction that you have. But yeah, it's, I 100% agree with you about the thing where, like, I think Revenge of the Sith came out in 2005 and Force Awakens came out in 2015. Mm-hmm. So that's a 10-year gap. Like,
yeah.
When I saw the teaser trailer for The Force Awakens, I cried like a hungry, angry baby. And I was just beside myself. I was like, oh my God, I'm so jazzed. And then when I saw the trailer for Rogue One, I was like, man, that looks different. That's going to be cool. My goodness. And then when I saw this one, I was just like, all right, cool. All right, rock on. All right.
Well, my question for you is, do you think because you had all this hype for the other ones, is it because, like, you're trying to kind of like save yourself or spare yourself any disappointment? Because I know that you... were a little bit disappointed by The Force Awakens, whereas I was, like, so super jazzed about it. Rogue One, I think we both were a little bit like, eh,
yeah.
It could have been better. And yet, I mean, we still had, like, moments where we really enjoyed it. Do you think that that's maybe it?
I don't think so. I don't think it's that, because The Force Awakens, I like more and more every single time I watch it.
Okay.
And Rogue One, when we watched it a second time and we'll watch it again, it just kind of reinforces what we didn't like about it, where we're just like, this is a good movie. Not a great movie.
Right.
This is a good movie.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, like we went a 10-year gap and then we had a Star Wars film and our hearts leapt out of our chests. And then we had Rogue One, where it's something different. It's an anthology film. That's never happened before. Mm-hmm.
Well,
a live action anthology film, you know, like in major motion picture. That's never happened before. And then, but with Episode 8, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, we get a Star Wars film every year now.
Yeah, that's kind of,
yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean...
And we also know of more Star Wars films that are coming out in the future, too. I think that's part of it, is that you know that we're going to be in this universe for a while, and you're going to be able to be in that universe for a while.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think there's something about that.
Yeah, and on our social media, I started a new thing, brand new thing, where I do a nerd question of the day. And today's question was a rumor that Disney was going to take a break after finishing this sequel trilogy. So, after Episode 9 is done... that they wouldn't produce episodes for a little while. And so I was kind of thinking, or asking, does that mean that we're not going to get a Star Wars film every year, and that the anthology films are just going to continue to come out every other year like they are now? Or is Disney going to continue its Star Wars production and come out with an anthology every year to replace those episodes. What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's a moneymaker. And I mean, look what they've done with Marvel.
Yeah.
So I don't see them really stopping.
I don't think so either. I think it's definitely going to be a money thing. I think we're going to continue to get a Star Wars film every single year. I think December is now Star Wars month.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So we talked about a couple episodes ago, which you guys should check out. We talked about the future of Star Wars anthologies, and we won't do that tonight because we've talked about our reaction to the trailer, but we haven't really talked about the trailer itself. So was there any imagery that really stuck with you? Because it's a teaser trailer. It's 2 minutes. They don't really talk about the story. They just kind of give you imagery to kind of just an iconography just to tease you, whet your appetite and everything like that. Was there anything that stuck with you? You said that you didn't really get chills or excited until the very end.
Yeah, I would say, well, I mean, hearing Luke's voice and I think like seeing him at the end, that's what everyone's excited about is like finally getting Luke in the film. So, and like seeing it look like possible training, like on that mountainous island type planet or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that part excites me probably the most.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm one thing that I've always been interested in, especially as a child, was Jedi training.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we got so little of it in the movies, if you think about it, like in A New Hope, we get like one scene between Obi-Wan and Luke where they have the lightsaber and the training droid. And then we have, it's a little bit more extended between Yoda and Luke in Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really get anything in Jedi. And then we have the prequel series. And it's kind of ongoing training. It's really kind of like master and student like thing. Like, oh, you know, think about this, you know. But like, I want to see much more of like, open your mind, lift up the rocks, you know, like
some more
like
Yoda.
Like, I want to see more Dagobah. I want to see more hands-on training.
Okay, because I was going to say, Dagobah's pretty heavy. Empire has a lot of that. Mm-hmm. So
I'm just saying, like, out of 6 movies, the only real Jedi training that we get, like hands-on Jedi training, is from Empire.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah, that part excited me the most, I think. To be completely honest, I don't really need Poe or Finn.
No? You're like, no?
No, I mean, I think I was kind of okay if it would just went with Rey. Like,
just Rey and Luke?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know I want to see, like, they have to bring it back. But yeah. I don't necessarily know if I needed them. I don't know.
Well,
that's kind of being a little cynical.
It's a Star
though.
Wars film, you know? You're like, it's an episode. I mean, like, think about, you know, Empire.
If we didn't bring back, like, Leia and Han.
think about Empire or Jedi if we didn't have 2 or 3 storylines going on.
That's true.
You know, like in Jedi, we had Luke's storyline, Han and Leia's storyline, and even Lando, you know, like in the last final moments. And so,
you know,
we got to cut it up. Come on. I'm sure that Luke and Rey are going to be the main focus of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, the teaser poster was released as well today, and it's the exact opposite of what Force Awakens was. It's boom, Luke's face right there. It's like,
finally,
it's letting us know, like, okay, like he's not just gonna take off his hood and not say anything,
right?
Like, this is Luke's movie, Luke and Rey's movie.
Yeah. I think I read something where they're not taking anything of what Carrie Fisher did out either, like they're not diminishing her role even though she's passed on. I read something about that, like, because people are asking, like, you know, are you gonna Well, no, she was in the movie and
it's
her
already
role,
been filmed. Yeah,
her role was, you know, important and it's going to stay important.
I think they said that they found a way that nothing is certain yet because they haven't even filmed episode 9 yet. So anything could change from now and then because they're still in post-production of episode 8. I think they're planning on taking footage that they filmed of her in episode 8. And transplanting it into episode 9.
Maybe that's what I read, yeah.
Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Because people kept wondering, like, oh, are you going to do, like, a digital character? Are you going to go all Tarkin on Carrie Fisher?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, no. Like, that's too soon.
It is
too weird.
Soon. Yeah.
And I agree with him. But other people were just like, well, don't write her out. You know, like you can't write out Carrie Fisher. I mean, you know, so many people have been down this road before with Fast and Furious, with Hunger Games, you know, like, you know, so many people have tried to do some sort of digital replacement where they still try to honor them, but still have to use like a body double with some face planting on it and everything like that. Not face planting. That's not the right term. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I really liked the visuals that it shows. It got me excited, but obviously nowhere, as we said before, nowhere near as excited as The Force Awakens or Rogue One. But yeah, just the idea of hearing Luke's voice, just hearing him go, breathe.
Yeah.
Just breathe. You know, like, just, and that last moment, I, you know, like, watching it before we recorded, like, I feel like I was in the right frame of mind, and I was able to kind of get into it a little bit more. And when we hear Luke say that the Jedi need to end.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I don't like it.
No? Why not?
Well, I think that that's so much of what Star Wars is. And so I feel like this has got to be a moment where he's questioning everything again. And then it somehow resolves itself through Rey, you know, where she like gives him hope again or something like that. Or like, you know, has his legacy live on through her. Because even though the fact that it's called The Last Jedi, it feels very final, but I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, okay, here's the thing that I'm coming from. It's called The Last Jedi. The last bit of the trailer is Luke saying the Jedi need to end, but then we have tons of training footage.
Right, so is that...
So I'm thinking that that last moment of the trailer is towards the beginning of the film, where it's kind of like a Rocky moment.
Yeah,
where,
maybe.
You know, Rock comes out and says, like, no, you got to train me. You got to train me. You're the best. You know, like, I got to fight this guy. And, you know, I don't know how to do it. And, you know, like, the trainer's just like, nah, Rock, I'm retired. I'm not going to do it. You know, and then, like, you're like, no, just come out for one more time. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
you know, and then you have the movie. Then you have the training montage. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what's going to happen is that Rey finds Luke. And then Luke's in hiding. Obviously, we know Luke's in hiding. But she's like, okay, you know, like, I've totally had this awakening of the Force. You see what I did there? And and then Luke's like, no. Like, no, the Jedi need to be over. Like, we had the Purge in the prequels. And I was the last Jedi. I tried to start over. Kylo Ren totally screwed me over. And I think we see a flashback of that in the trailer. Because we see a hooded figure or someone with long hair next to R2 in front of a burning temple.
Yeah.
And so I'm pretty sure that's when... like Kylo and the Knights of Ren destroyed his school. And so
we also see like a helmet, like whether it's Darth Vader or Kylo Ren's.
It's Kylo Ren's.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked at that.
Okay.
It's Kylo Ren's.
Okay.
Where so it's that like was on smashed. The.
Oh, smashed. Okay.
Yeah, so Kylo Ren's mask is smashed. Wonder what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, from Luke's perspective, is like, you know, the Chosen One, was his father was the Chosen One. But yet his father brought about the purge of the Jedi and then the rise of the Sith. But then at the very end of at the end of Jedi, Darth Vader died and destroyed the Sith at the same time. And so Luke is the last Jedi. And so he's going to start a new start a new order. And then that failed. And so he's just like, OK, that's it. Like, I can't go through a third purge.
Right.
You know, maybe the Jedi just aren't meant to be anymore.
Right.
You
he's know? Just like so jaded to what happened that he just can't. He's like, no, this is not going to happen anymore.
Right.
Right. But we know it does.
But yeah, we know it does. And so we've seen the training montage, like at least bits of it. And so Rey is able to bring that youthful hope, a new hope. And then there you go. So I'm excited for this movie. Even if the trailer didn't make me cry or just explode, I am still excited for the movie because of everything you just said. Like, I want that training movie. I want the beginning of Rey's training. And I can't wait to see Luke in that Yoda role.
Yeah, that'll be really cool.
Yeah. And absolutely. Also, it looks like we're getting, like, some iconography of the Jedi Order. And it looks like some ancient knowledge survived the
Purge.
I
saw. Yeah, that looked interesting, too.
I'm excited about that. All right. So artificial intelligence, obviously a sci-fi concept because we have yet to reach it today. Even though I can't turn on the news, and by turn on the news, I mean open up my phone.
When do we turn on the news?
Without seeing some sort of technology ad that says, like, Google is utilizing artificial intelligence to help with their advertising. No, they're not. No, they are not. They're using sophisticated algorithms, which is completely different from artificial intelligence. Okay. So... let's, instead of just starting right into the Star Wars universe with AI, let's talk about it in a general aspect in movies. Why is this so appealing? Why is this such a cornerstone of sci-fi?
I feel like it's that idea that this could eventually happen, and the idea that we may have, like, almost like get beyond needing humans, you know, needing, you know, humans to run things, like where machines take over. So this concept of machines taking over, I think, like, that's the thing that is interesting to us, you know?
So you're talking about the interesting thing is machines taking over in a good way or a bad way or just in general?
I think both. Because, I mean, in sci-fi, I think you see it both ways. But in most of the time, it ends poorly.
Well, I mean, you got to have great drama.
That's,
you know,
true. I think like Metropolis, like we go back to Metropolis where
yeah, you can go all the way back to Metropolis. Yeah.
Where they're like, you know, she's causing all kinds of trouble
with her sexy dances.
That's
back
right
and forth.
Yeah. Her flapper sexy dances.
Yeah. I when we watched Metropolis, I had no idea it was like the robot was gonna be so sexy.
Yeah. Confession, I don't know about you, but I had not watched Metropolis until a few months ago. And I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, I only saw bits and pieces of it. Yeah. So I couldn't.
But we watched the whole thing.
Like, yeah. We watched the whole thing. With restored and remastered mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. like that. And it was, I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast.
I don't
or
think
not.
We did. No, I don't think we did. Maybe it's because we were ashamed. But.
I would love. Yeah. That is one of those movies where you're just kind of like, we should have watched that a long time ago.
Yeah.
But Metropolis, that's one of the, I know this is heresy. But that's one of those films that I want to cut. I want to re-edit. Because I feel like even though it's...
Trim it down?
Yeah. I want to, like, it's super long and it doesn't need to be. But I'm looking at it from a modern perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... I know because I'm looking at it from a modern perspective, I would love to cut it for a modern audience because it's absolutely mind-blowing what they did in that movie and how they achieved it, because there are certain shots and miniatures and paintings and everything like that that are just like, they did this when?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just absolutely crazy.
It was definitely, you know, ahead of its time for sure.
Miles ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And so for that, I give it kudos and credits. But yeah, I believe I could make a really streamlined cut. I was an editor for years. I was an editor for a decade, and I really feel like I could do a fan edit of of Metropolis. But anyway, so yeah, like AI is introduced as early in the 1920s
mm-hmm.
of cinema, and we've been riding the wave ever since. All the way through to Matrix and Terminator and all the way up to Ex Machina.
Yeah.
So you think it's interesting.
In Westworld.
And Westworld. I'd say that's the most recent example, the mm-hmm. New Age Westworld. So you think it's interesting because it's one of those things that could happen, or scientists believe is not a question of if, but just when.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we've always predicted that we're going to use, you know, AI to help us, but this idea that it could go horribly wrong and take over, I think, has always, you know, think about Ray Bradbury, you know, short stories and stuff like that. I feel like we've always played with this idea that if we become too advanced, then we give up some of our humanity.
Yeah, I googled artificial intelligence in movies, and right now I'm looking at all of them on the list, and I'd say like 95, maybe 99% of them are when crap hits the fan with artificial intelligence. Now, obviously you need that in order to create drama,
mm-hmm.
but I think the only one where things didn't go horribly wrong was Bicentennial Man and Short Circuit.
So like, you sure it's 95%? Yeah. Like 98 or 99% of them.
Yeah, like that's yeah. the only one where like humanity is not being destroyed. That and maybe Chappie. But yeah, it's I think for me, okay. So one thing that's one movie that's not on the on this list is Her.
Oh yeah.
Spike Jonze film.
Yeah.
With Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. When I think artificial intelligence, I think that. I don't.
So a sexy voice that like.
I think makes a you sexy Scarlett Johansson that reads me my emails. No, I do. I think of that kind of future rather than The Matrix or Terminator or really? Bicentennial Man. I guess for me, like that's much more attainable. That's much oh. more quote unquote realistic for me. Like the movie in Her, the future in Her, is something that I can grab onto. Much more than like Short Circuit or or iRobot, you know?
Okay.
Because Her is the near future. Like they don't ever say what year it is, I don't mm-hmm. think. And everything's just a little different, just a little bit more advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think AI, I think a disembodied voice talking to me. And
does that go back to like, you know, the Enterprise of, you know,
you know what? Maybe it does. Maybe it goes back to my Star Trek roots. Because the voice of the computer in Enterprise wasn't intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a voice. It was right. just a computer voice. It couldn't think for itself. You'd ask it a question, it would answer.
Right.
And every once in a while, you'd ask an abstract question. It'd be like, specify. Specify. You know, right. something like that. Maybe, yeah. I have always, when I saw Her, I was just like, oh, man. Oh man, I gotta get me one of those. I like.
Excuse me.
No, not that part. Not the whole awkward sexy talk one. I would want a computer voice where I would say like, okay, like set me up an appointment, like at Midas, so I can get my.
And you want it to like talk and have a conversation with you about it?
Yeah.
No, I don't want that.
No, you don't
all.
Want that?
Not at all.
Why do you not want that?
That's creepy.
Okay, let's talk about that. Like, let's, like, that's in a movie. I find it interesting. You find it creepy. What is that?
Because it's not a real person.
So what? Well, it's an artificial intelligence.
And I
though.
Would feel sad. I would feel sad talking to it.
Why? Explain that. Expound on
because,
that.
Like, if I'm talking to a machine, like, look at Joaquin Phoenix. He replaces real people with this. Voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like a physical, like, well, eventually becomes physical, kind of. Weird
that
weird way. Yeah, that was a weird scene. Yeah,
but that would totally happen. We're not going to talk about it, but that would totally happen. You know that would happen.
Yeah, that's creepy. That
well,
is
that
creepy.
Part is creepy. Yeah, okay. You add sex into it, it makes everything creepy.
But
wait, that sounded wrong. Maybe I'm doing sex wrong. Anyway, continue.
The
please.
Name of the episode.
Yeah. Okay.
No, just the idea that like you're not talking to real people, like you're like he's walking around and seeing people, but he's not interacting with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very realistic. Like it probably will end up being that way.
Yeah.
But you know, in a WALL-E world where we're all fat and just talking to our screens, which is almost happening. But I feel like. I don't know. I feel like the idea of people replacing actual people with machines, relationship-wise, that's creepy.
Okay, so you don't like it because you feel like it takes away the human element.
Yeah.
For me, I see it as an addition. I don't see it as a replacement.
Okay, but you're telling me that you wouldn't, like, you like being indoors a lot.
Yes, and?
I'm the person that gets you out of... the indoors.
That's true.
So, and like into the world and like we go out together.
Mm-hmm.
So, take me out of the picture, add in a world of Her.
But I'm not taking you out of the picture. That's the thing. I'm not taking you out of the picture.
Yeah, no, I'm not adding a Her into our relationship.
What if it was a dude?
No.
So,
it doesn't have to do with the gender.
So, then what's the issue?
No, what would be the, like, you would fulfill that element without a physical being. Like,
so you're gonna make my appointments for me? You're gonna do all that? Is that I all of a sudden I hear you volunteering?
No, I am not gonna be your secretary if that's all you want.
Let me switch the movies here.
Okay.
All right. So it's no longer her situation where the OS becomes aware and it's sexy Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Making my appointments and whatnot.
Sounds like you're very intrigued by this. Okay.
So it's not that anymore. Let's switch it to Jarvis. In Iron Man and Avengers.
Then now it's like, annoying.
How is it annoying? Jarvis is awesome.
No.
Screw you. Annoying?
You just say screw you to me.
Jarvis is amazing. Okay, what's wrong with Jarvis?
No. Like, Jarvis is entertaining for like 30 minutes, but then it just becomes annoying.
Why? How? Why? Why?
That what? I have a disembodied like British voice in my head. No. No.
You're not. Okay, you're just making it awesome. Okay. You're just describing a disembodied British voice talking to me?
No, it's annoying.
What? You're just saying annoying over and over again. Why is it annoying?
Because.
Bad podcasting.
Because it's the idea that it's not a real person again. And think about it. Like, okay, if you're just like, okay, let's add it into the scenario that you're talking to your dog all the time. Like, okay. Yeah, okay, I'm talking to my dog. Yes, yay. But at least the dog can like love you back and stuff, like, and like lick you and be like, and you can pet them.
Okay, we're not
stuff.
Talking about her, all right?
All right. No. But this is the same idea.
That was a joke about the
licking. But it's the same idea, is that you're not getting the same thing back. I'm not saying that every relationship has to be physical. I'm just saying that it's not a real relationship.
Well, but here's the thing, though. With artificial intelligence, it's actual intelligence. It's emotions. It's thoughts. It's independent. And so, in essence, it's real, just disembodied. So how is that not a real
You're
relationship?
You're way more okay with this than I am.
I am much more of a futurist than you are.
So are you saying that when this technology becomes available and it's more mainstream, or like maybe in the beta stages, like you're going to be like all on board?
Yeah.
Am I going to have to be like okay with this?
Yeah.
We did not talk about this before we got married.
I didn't know this was a thing that we needed to discuss. Like, do you want children? And also, are you fine if I order an artificial intelligence to run our appointments in the house?
Well, apparently we should have talked about this.
I didn't like, okay, everybody, like, make sure that's on the checks and checks and balances lists when you have your meeting with your pastor before you get married. I didn't know that was a thing.
Gosh.
But that's the thing that's I think we're talking about the essence, okay, of the argument here. In my perspective, if it's artificial intelligence, it's real. It's a real intelligence with independent
and
thought.
I don't want any of that.
And emotions. Why? You're calling, okay, with her, you're calling it awkward. With Jarvis, you're calling it annoying. But why would you not
I think
want
it
that?
Goes to the creepy part of it, that it's not human.
Correct.
Okay.
But you just talked about your dog. At least your dog loves you back.
I know.
A dog's not human. And, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to win this or not, but I think that everyone understands what I'm saying.
Well, no. I'm not trying to win the argument. I'm just trying to understand your perspective. There's no winning or losing.
Because
but I am winning. I'm just kidding. That was
really?
Totally, I'm totally yeah, just
really?
Joking.
We'll talk later. I think that it's the non-human element. I think.
So it's foreign to you. So
it's.
What? No, what? What? That was weird. I don't mean like foreign as it's a foreigner.
No, it's like it's the idea that it was man-made, so it like, and I guess it's the idea that maybe I've watched too many movies where it does go terribly, terribly wrong.
Maybe. Here's where I would draw the line.
Okay.
All right, I think I am totally okay with a disembodied voice that's in a computer that I can control and tell it what to do.
But you want it to interact with you.
But interact with me, yeah. I'm totally fine with that. But if there was an iRobot situation where there was like a 6-foot mechanical man standing
don't
in
point,
the corner.
Don't point. That's don't creepy. Point. Stop
I'm,
it. That's
I'm
creepy.
Pointing by the coat
Stop
rack
it.
And it's freaking you out.
Stop.
It's right behind
Stop.
You.
Stop. Stop.
If that situation was happening, like in Bicentennial Man or iRobot or things like that, and
it has eyes.
It has eyes and human features and everything. Like that would creep me out.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's an element of that I can't control. I feel like what if something went wrong? I would not be able to subdue that thing. If an artificial intelligence went wrong or haywire on my laptop, I close my friggin' laptop.
Okay, so in your world, it's okay. You can like turn it off.
Yeah.
There's or dial it back, kind of like Tars.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tars is adorable. You love Tars.
I do. Just not in my life.
Not in your life.
Yeah.
So do you understand that perspective of mine a little bit more?
Yes, because you're taking away the human features of it. Does that make sense?
Well, the human body.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the disembodied. But I still wouldn't be okay with it. No.
I would hardcore be okay with it. Like I would I would love to walk around the house and you.
So like if I like our fridge was, you know, like talk to us, or like the house, like it's like a smart house. Mm-hmm. And like I reach for like a frozen pizza and it's like, really? The girl, do you want to make that decision? Like, do you want it to have that much
like, no, I do
personality?
Not. I don't want it to be another I don't want it to be like another person that we have to take care of in the house. It's something that we can access when we want to. And I think that's why I shifted from her over to Jarvis. I would want more of a Jarvis than a her. Like I'd want someone that I could, I want a digital butler, basically. I want a digital butler that I can ask to do things and they can take care of it for me.
But no body,
like a digital butler, no body, no nothing. Like I'm not gonna sit down on the couch and say, like, Jarvis, you know, like what do you think about like life? You know, like is there a God? You know, like what do you think of God? Am I your God? You know, like I don't want to talk about that kind of thing. Like I don't want to say like you're like, oh, man, you know, like your broccoli is a funny word, right? You know, like I'm not gonna sit down and just like muse with them. Like I just
but
I
want, could you?
Yeah, if it's an artificial intelligence, you could.
Okay.
That's why I asked Siri if she's attracted to me.
I was
all
gonna
the
say,
time.
Yeah, you asked Siri a lot of questions, but
it's
that's
not,
as close as we can get right now.
Yeah, I would want more of a Jarvis, less of a her, because I'm happily married. And
you probably wouldn't mind the Scarlett Johansson voice, though.
No, probably not. No, if I actually, that's one other thing that I thought about. That's one of the, like if I could choose the voice, who it would be, and I narrowed it down to two.
Wow, we have okay.
I think about this a lot.
I better prepare myself, apparently, because this is going to happen if it's available.
When you commute like I do, mm-hmm. You think about this stuff.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So I narrowed it down to two. Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer.
Okay, so he's just yelling?
No, it's more of like a gravel yell.
Okay. Oh, still, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So
I wouldn't be.
No, but he's like.
Getting
he's
on
like,
my nerves at all.
In real time. You know, it's like more like that.
Okay.
So Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, or Avery Brooks as Benjamin Sisko from Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Well, that's a pretty good voice.
Right. Yeah. I'm leaning more towards Avery Brooks, especially from his IBM commercials that were in the 90s. You know, yeah, those were awesome.
He can get pretty Shakespearean, which is good.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic, classical.
That'd be better than some, but
yeah. How about you? Like, if you could choose, if I forced this onto you. I'm like, hey, sweetie, I bought an AI.
Like, I would get to choose the voice? Yeah, right.
Like, yeah, I know that would never happen. But like maybe yeah, in this right. alternate reality where I have to meet you halfway where I'm like, okay, I choose that we have an AI, but you have to choose the voice. You get to choose the voice. Whose voice would you choose? Or what type?
Oh, okay. I think.
Male, female?
It would be male.
Male, okay. Is there. Because of competition, like you're
really for my voice. No, I don't want the thing. Okay. No, okay, so Don Draper. John Hamm.
Are you just saying that because he plays the self-aware toilet in Bob's Burgers?
No, well, I mean, he does do it well, but no, I think that he has a nice, like, soothing, calming voice.
John Hamm.
Yeah,
I could live with Don Draper. Wait, I need to finish that sentence quicker. I could have a John Hamm AI. I could do that. Yeah.
Well,
I'd be down for that. Is it more appealing to you now?
No, not at all. I'm just giving you the voice.
Okay. I like how you need to specify that it's John Hammond, not Don Draper. Because, well, like, having Don Draper in your house.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want necessarily Don Draper, but
yeah, I was going to say, all of a sudden, voice. There's, like, 1960s floozies in the house. Like,
well, it's just the voice. I thought you said it was disembodied. You're confusing me.
Okay, so clearly, like, if you can't even have a disembodied voice, you're obviously not having a robot in the house.
No.
What are some of your favorite AI movies? Now, which is funny because you hate the movie AI.
Oh, I hate that movie. Like, that is, like, one of my least favorite movies of all time.
But that has a Jude Law robot in it. So that's pretty cool.
I think that was the best part.
It was the best part. You played Gigolo.
That was a depressing movie.
Yes, it was.
Like, super depressing.
It was a Stanley Kubrick film made and finished by Spielberg.
Yeah, it was just so depressing. That movie was just like, ugh. It just made you feel terrible at the end of it. Yeah, I hate that movie. But, Well, I guess the Ex Machina was really interesting a few years ago when that came out. That wasn't that long ago.
No, when it came out 2015.
Yeah.
And, I liked that movie. I think it's overrated.
I liked it.
But I liked it. I really enjoyed it. People act like it was the second coming. It was insane.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the second coming of the indie films. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I kind of want to watch it again. Did you buy it or rent it? I think we just rented. But when I think AI, the first movie that comes to mind is Terminator.
Okay.
Like, I think about, well, it's kind of combined with Terminator and Matrix, which are like kind of the same concept where we create machines, they go crazy and create an apocalypse of mankind. Those are probably some of my favorite AI movies. Like, I, even though I would totally have an AI in the house, like, I love the stories where humanity is just decimated.
See, I think of Terminator more as an AI film than Matrix.
Really?
Yeah, I do. And I guess it's just because it's more of the physical embodiment of the artificial intelligence. Maybe that's what it is for me. Versus, you know, Matrix, it's more of, okay, they plug in.
Yeah, but you have, like, Agent Smiths running
around.
You're
right. You're right. I know. Yeah. But you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I just never thought of it in that way for some reason.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know.
It's kind of the whole premise.
I know.
That's right.
But I don't think of Tron as either.
Tron is totally AI.
I know, but I don't think of it in that way. Like, I've kind of, like, separated into categories where I think of it more of, like, an iRobot or a Bicentennial Man or...
Okay. Yeah, like, Tron and Matrix, I think, are a little closer than Matrix and Terminator. I mean, like, Matrix...
That's how I feel, yeah.
Matrix and Terminator have the whole apocalypse angle,
mm-hmm.
but Tron and Matrix are program-based.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Yeah. Yeah.
That's...
Because in Tron, they didn't really say, oh, we created AI. It's just like, oh, I wrote a program.
Right,
you know,
right.
They didn't really think about it that way. I mean, they expounded on it a little bit more with Tron Legacy, with the isomorphs.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's what they were called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a next level AI and everything like that. Yeah. So, like, Tron, oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so sad that they're not making another sequel. I would love to get a sequel to Tron Legacy. But there's rumors that they're going to come out with a reboot. So they're going to take the original concept and reboot it in today's world, which I think would be really cool.
Hmm.
And the rumor is that Jared Leto is going to be in it. And I'm like, I would watch the crap out of that movie.
I like the Legacy, too. I like Tron Legacy as well.
I don't know why they get such a bad rap.
I know. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was a great... Like,
I mean, you don't... It's, you know, it's not like the best thing ever, but no. I liked it.
And it gets a little muddled.
Oh, yeah.
Towards the end. And
you just kind of have to be along for the ride.
Yeah. I mean, like, it gets a little like, wait, what are they trying to say? What's going on?
Well,
why
and
are
like,
the isomorphs going on?
Well, like, she's able to now be in the real world. Like, how does...
I know that's
how
so,
does that work?
I don't know how that works. Like, where do they get the material? Like taking material and digitizing it makes sense than taking something that was originally digitized and making in the real world. I wanted to learn a little bit more about that. And so I kind of wanted that sequel. I know this is going to sound so stupid and childish, but every time I see Tron Legacy, especially like even the first time when I saw Tron Legacy and we see that Olivia Wilde's character is out in the real world and she has a body and she's enjoying the sunset, everything just like that. The first thing that comes to my brain is, Does she poop?
What? That's so... What?
I know. It's so moronic and stupid. But, like, they're supposed to have, like, this really poetic moment where she's enjoying warmth and the sun for the first time. And she's holding on.
I never thought about that.
And I'm just like, I'm seeing her and I'm just like...
Ridiculous.
I wonder what that's like.
Oh, my God.
Like, did she freak out? You know, like... You know, like stuff like that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be gross.
Wow, you were 10 years old.
I'm not trying to be gross. I promise. You know I don't like that type of humor, but that's the first thing that pops in my head.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. We've been going on a long time. And
argued about
I know
whether that was going to be in a relationship, apparently.
We didn't really talk too terribly much. We didn't even get to Star Wars.
Well, what other films did AI-wise come to your mind?
Well, you have Blade Runner, you know, the classic, you know, Blade Runner, where there was no apocalypse, but they have to murder them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You have iRobot, which isn't the apocalypse again, but it's close, like they avoid
it. Yeah, because...
Then you have Age of Ultron, wrong. Which, I don't know, I like to skip over that one.
Y'all do.
Yeah, but I think Bicentennial Man might be... I don't think that movie gets enough love. I really like that movie.
Yeah,
I watched it a lot as a kid. It came out in 1999. And it was a family favorite, except for my mom. I don't think my mom liked it.
I cried.
I know. Yeah, no, I cried and I loved it. And it's a story. It's a story of that AI spark where it wasn't planned. It wasn't there. They were not trying to create artificial intelligence. Like in the Terminator and the Matrix and everything like that, they were trying.
Right.
But with Bicentennial Man, it's just that one little spark, that one unit was different, and we don't know what made it different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it unique, and that's why I was able to just get on board and say, like, yeah, that's intelligence because it like, he has a soul because it's unique, and we didn't really create it. It was just an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that angle, and I like that they talk about love and religion and sex in a very adult way about what makes us human and what makes him human at the end. And I think that's a very underrated film.
It's also like, what was it, 90s?
So 99, tail end.
Yeah, so it's, but it still has that feel of
it's got that 90s feel.
Yeah, it does. It totally does.
It's true. There was something about the 90s that will never come again. But real quick, before we sign off, Star Wars. Artificial intelligence in Star Wars. Would you be fine with like a C-3PO character hanging around?
Hell no.
No? Well, okay. Let me rephrase
that. That would be annoying as well.
Well, yeah, I know why that would be annoying. But what about just a protocol droid, like a less annoying protocol droid? Would you feel less threatened than an iRobot type droid if you had a C-3PO?
No, it would be annoying. I wouldn't want that.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
What about R2-D2?
Cuter, but still, those beeps would get annoying.
All right, BB-8.
Still cute. But again, it would get annoying.
My goodness, you wouldn't even want a BB-8 in the house?
No, I know. It might make me cold, but I'm sorry.
Who hurt you? Like, what? Were you bitten by a robotic dog as a child? Like, what happened? One of those Japanese
Yip dogs? I think
Japanese
it all comes back
dogs?
To my Furby.
There we go. There we go. Okay. End of the episode. Well, I think that's it. I think we hit it on the head. You had a bad experience with a Furby where it woke up in the middle of the night and you threw it up against the wall.
Yeah,
that's what I'm assuming.
It were terrible, terrifying. Yeah, and that was it for me.
Okay. All right. Well, I really want to hear from our fans,
yes,
our listeners.
I'm sure we didn't really talk very much about different films. So
yeah.
You tell us what films you like that are artificial intelligence. Would you have artificial intelligence in your home?
Yeah.
So you tell us.
I think that's the question that we we were originally going to talk about AI in movies, but now it just kind of turned into is AI cool? Like... We're not. Hot or not.
Have you talked about this before you got married?
Yeah, like for those of you who are engaged.
If you're engaged, you probably should bring this up.
Ask this question.
We should have.
So go to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu and ask the question. Answer the question. Don't ask the question. We're asking the question. Answer it. Say, like, would you want artificial intelligence in your home? Would you want it disembodied? Would you want it in a robot? body? Would you want it in a very realistic robot body? To go grocery shopping? Or are you just like, no, none of that. No, like, no, that's creepy. That's annoying. Like the girl. Or like, screw with Furbies. So yeah, let us know. And also, you can follow us on Twitter at Join Nerd Party. You can follow me personally on Twitter at The Insane Robin. Please go to facebook.com/TheNerdParty. Give us a like, give us a follow, and interact with us there. You'll be able to mention this on the comment on the show post. And please just go to thenerdparty.com for all of our previous episodes, as well as all of our other shows. We got so much coming at you every single day of the week. Thank you so much. And baby, regardless of whether or not you would allow my Avery Brooks AI in the house, I love you.
I know.
Breathe.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.